it's impossible to please him. And all of your struggles to stay calm when you face with trials and problems. That's why it's so important that remember Jesus said three words, peace be still. Mark 4:39, the Sea of Galilee storm caused disciples to fear for their life. But Jesus calmly and confidence. Remember, confidence, faith. Speak the word. Peace be still. And believe it. Believe it. What you're speaking out of your mouth, believe it. Hallelujah. Trust God. Please remember these three words. Peace be still. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, I just want to thank you today that I was able to get on here and proclaim and to get to know you and let everyone get to know you through the word of God, that we can learn together, that we can talk and get in the word together. God, I thank you that I'm able to come on and be a witness for you. Father, I love you. Oh, your grace and your mercy. We just want to thank you today. We want to thank you and give you all the praise, glory, and honor. Father God, as we come to you, I ask you to heal, deliver, and set the captive free. Father God, in the name of Jesus, somebody's ill, sick, but I'm asking you to touch and heal their bodies. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I'm very, very, very praying very hard for this certain person just right now in ICU. God, touch them right now in the name of Jesus. Father, right now, touch, heal, and deliver. Father, right now, strengthen that family right now in the name of Jesus. And we love you. We be so careful to give all the praise and glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. God love you, and I do too. Till we meet again. God bless you. I love you.
Thank you for tuning in today to the Getting to Know Him broadcast with Pastor Elvira Brevel of the Trinity Missionary Baptist Church of Alexandria, Louisiana. To correspond with Pastor Brevel or to send a love offering, go to $Shalonda Nobles. That's $SHOLONDANOBLES. Be sure to tune in for the next Getting to Know Him broadcast.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
We thank you for the power of the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you now. Lord, we give you praise and glory. We honor you with our worship, with our praise. Lord, we pray that you just touch your people with your finger of love, that there'll be some that are healed mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, Lord, that touch us. Father, we pray, God, that you would touch your people and give them a heart to love like you want us to. Father, we pray that you'd give me clarity of thought and precision of speech. Let my tongue be as the pen of a ready writer. Let the hearts of the hearer be the tablet that upon which I shall write the word of God. Father, the word that brings healing and deliverance and power and peace and prosperity to those that hear and believe it. Father, we thank you now, God, for all that you've done and what you're about to do. After you, this word has gone forth, pray, God, that it will be absorbed by the hearer with joy. Father, after you've done what you want to do, be careful to give you glory and praise. And we will join with the many-winged seraphim, the many-eyed cherubim, and chant and declare one to another that you're holy. You're holy, God. You're holy. And your glory fills the earth. And we thank you for filling us with your spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to use for a thought, a title, a tag, a topic to this message, Manifesting God's Love. manifesting God's love. And identify fake stuff when you see it. See, the devil tried to duplicate love, but he called it, it's really lust, because it looks like love, but it ain't. It looks like love, and it drives you like you think you love and you really want, but then it ain't really love. It's lust. You lust for money. Come on and say amen. You lust for power. You lust for other people. It's a whole bunch of stuff. It ain't got to always be sexual, but lust is something that drives you to a point that you'll do anything. You don't care who you hurt. You don't care what you do. You don't care what you say. Preaching here. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. You don't care about anything else but what you want. But love doesn't act like that. Love is not puffed up. Love denies itself. Love does not think itself above any other. Love bears all things. I wish I had somebody. Love gives all. I wish I had somebody now. And we need to know what love really is. Y'all still with me here? Do I need to just go ahead and close now? He says that. Now that's, they said no, not me. He says, beloved, God so loved us, so we ought to love one another. Are you loving each other? Now, if you can treat a person cold and not forgive, y'all hear me? Let me go on a little further. If not only if you treat somebody cold, but if you got cold intentions, you don't have love. Huh? I know they might have did you something, but God did say eye for an eye. He said, Jesus said, if you read Matthew 5, he taught, when he began to teach, the first teaching that Jesus gave, he said, this is the first thing. He said, I know you heard eye for an eye, two for two, but I say you need to love.
Amen.
That's what Jesus said. I said you need to forgive.
Amen.
Amen. Now, let me explain this. Now, forgiving you don't mean I got to be in your face every day. Huh? Because I got sense enough to know that you don't bring out the best in me, and I don't bring out the best in you. So let's be the best in our own corners. Y'all with me here? We gotta learn how to just do that instead of, you know, I gotta hold a grudge with you because me and you don't get along. You know, we don't get along, so we don't hang out. It's fine. But when I see you, I can love on you and say, God bless you. I don't mean no ill will towards you. The Bible says this, that, you know, and we come to church with all this mess in our heart. Bitterness, anger, unforgiveness. I'm working on somebody. I'm clear today, so I can work. My conscience clear. I don't have to worry about that. And we come with all of this, and we try to offer praise, and we try to offer an offering, and we try to pay. I pay my tithes. Like, that's something good. Yeah, okay. But guess what? God said, if you got this mess in your heart, he said, don't offer it, no offering to me. He said, leave it, go get it right with your brother, come back, then you can offer it, and I'll accept it. Huh? But we think that we can pray God to exceed. I gave my tithe, so God favored me, and I want God to punish them. No, it ain't going to work like that. Just because you gave your tithe, just because you lift your hands and praise God and think that that's going to make God manipulate. We're so manipulative because we think that our gift can manipulate God as if he needs something. God said, if I was hungry, you wouldn't know it. Huh? So God don't need anything from us. We need from him. So he expects us to manifest his love for our brothers. Now, how do you know I love God? Because I love the brothers. How do you know I'm a disciple of God? That's what he said. He said, this is how people will know that you're my disciple. Because you have love one for the brethren, for one for another. We got to have love. Where are the one for another people? Huh? Where are the people who don't, you know, who ain't got all this hardness of heart? That just got all this mess, so much mess in your heart that you can't love people straight. You got to manipulate. We always got to manipulate somebody. Why? Why do we have to manipulate? Why do we try to trick people into liking us? Huh? Just be you. And if they don't like you, you can't make somebody want you. Let me tell you something else. Envy. That's what we have people that envy, and ain't nothing. I found this out the hard way. I ain't telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. If somebody envy you, ain't nothing you can do about it.
Amen.
You can gift them over and over. You can help them. You can love on them, bless. And they still may not like you.
Amen.
But do you turn your love? Do your love supposed to wax cold? No.
No.
You say, you know what? And those people that envy me, I put them in my prayer first.
That's right. That's right.
Not for them, but for me. So that my heart will be right. So that when I pray, God will heal me. Okay, all right. And let me tell you something. I'm going to say this, and I want y'all to catch it. If you're thinking about somebody else today when I'm preaching this and you ain't thinking about yourself, then you got the problem. Amen. Because the message ought to be for you. All right. I'm trying to get through. It ain't going like I thought in my mind, but it's going. So he says, no man has seen God at any time. Verse 12, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect in us. Hereby we know we that we dwell in him and he in us, because he has given us his spirit. Now, proof of God's love proves that we have God's spirit on the inside of us, right? The Bible says in Romans that he that has not the spirit of Christ is none of his. We can all holler about everybody as God's children, but you know what the truth is, and I'm just going to say it, that not everybody is God's children.
Amen.
Everyone is God's created beings, their creation, but they're not his children.
Amen.
And the only way you can be a child of God is if you have the spirit of God.
Amen.
Which is what is his like his DNA. He regenerated. Regeneration, the root word of regeneration is the word gene. And what that means is God regenes you so that you'll act differently.
Amen.
So that you'll look differently. So you'll be different. That's why I say, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have what? Passed away, and all things become what?
New.
What's new about you? You that same old scam booger, as the old people would say. What's new about you? You've been doing that for years and years, and you ain't changed a bit. What's new? What's new? Can you identify something new in you? I can. I know I'm new. I may not be brand new now, but I'm new. Amen. So love, when we love, it proves that God's spirit is on the inside of us, because we can't love without his spirit.
Amen.
Amen. The spirit of God comes and seals us. Amen. Let me go on here. And so he says, hereby know that we dwelleth in him and he in us. When he said that we dwell in him, that means that we live in him. It is in him we live, we move, and have our being. I exist not outside of him, but I exist in him. And if I exist in him, ought not know any old thing ought to be going on in him.
Amen.
All right, I'm going to stop and go on now. He says, now, no man has seen God at any time, and we love one another. God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfect in us. We have to learn to perfect love. How do I perfect love? Love abiding on the inside of me alone is not enough. I have to show that love. Love is an action that I must do. Love is something that must be manifest outside of my mind, outside of my heart. And all of you know I love you. I can hear people say that all the time. But when the rubber meets the road, that love run thin. That kind of love don't mean nothing. That kind of love, people just, you know, they forget about you when you're going through. They don't check on you. You know, that kind of stuff. But you know what? So I'm so glad that God don't forget about me. I'm so glad that God will check on me. I'm so glad that God is with me. Amen. And he said, look, this kind of love that God has for us, he said that I'll be with you even until the end of the world. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word won't go nowhere, and I ain't going nowhere. So God said, I'm going to be with you. I'm with you even until the end of the world. That's the kind of love. I'm your friend until the end. I'm not, and you know, at the end of the word friend, it says E-N-D. So we have to be friends to the
end.
To the end. Amen.
Amen.
All right, let me go on because of my time. He says, hereby know we that dwell in him, he in us, because he hath given us his spirit. That is the thing. God has given us his spirit. He's given us what it takes to be like him. His spirit is what it takes to be like him, because his spirit is him.
Amen.
If God is in you, how can we hate? How can you let the sun go down on your wrath? If God is in you, how can you turn your back on others? If God is in you, how can you treat people cold? If God is in you, if God is in you, you don't care what they do. You can still love because it don't affect you like that.
Amen.
Because God is stronger than that. You know what the scripture said? Great is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if the greater one is on the inside of you, you're greater than that. You're greater than stooping down to the lowest level. You're greater than gossip. You're greater than mess. You're greater than keeping up all this bitterness and anger and hate in your heart. You're greater than that because the greater one is on the inside. Y'all still with me here? I know this wasn't what you expected, but here we go. He says, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. This is the love of God. We testify that God, if you testify, your testimony in life is that God loved the world. That he gave Jesus, he sent Jesus. And we talk about the love of God, and that's your testimony. But is your testimony, your witness, measuring up with what you're saying? You know how you say you're talking loud, but you ain't saying nothing? If we can't manifest love, we just talking. Paul said this. He said, if you can't love, he said, you're like a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. In other words, you're just a bunch of racket. That's what mama would say. What all that racket is? That's it. Nothing but racket. Nothing but a bunch of noise. But when we love God, we do more than just make the noise. We show God, we show people, and we show the world who God is. Amen? He says, verse 16, and we have known and believed that the love of God, that the love that God had to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. This is how you want God in your life, love.
Amen.
He says that God is love. And if God is love, then that's what we need to try to make sure people see.
Amen.
If you want, look, we talking about they took God out of school. If love in the school, God there. When our neighborhood is in shambles and all this stuff that's happening right now, we need to put love in the neighborhood.
Amen.
We need to bring love to our community. When we stop showing love and we bottle ourselves up in the four walls of the building and not realize that the church is in you, that you are the one who's supposed to show people who God is,
Amen.
Not me. You don't just bring them to me. You bring them to God in you.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Okay. Let me get out of here. Let's go on to verse number 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Look at what love does for us. Love delivers us from judgment.
Amen.
All right, love delivers us from judgment. Now, the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6, around verse 22, he talks about the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love.
Amen.
And then it gives you a list of other things. Really, all of that is wrapped up in love. Patience, joy, peace, long-suffering. You love it. You suffer long because you love. Things like that. So the character of love is patience. Things like that. So when we start looking at that, then it says, against such there is no law.
Amen.
There is no law to judge a love. There is no law to judge people who love. There is no law in heaven or in earth to judge those who love God.
Amen.
Y'all still with me here? When we manifest this love, our love is made perfect, and there is no way for judgment. We are delivered from hell, death, and the grave based on the love that God has for us and then the love that we have for the brethren. Come on and say amen. But notice what he said now. He said, and there is no fear in love. The reason why people fear is because there is no love. When you fear and you don't understand what love is, you fear that the worst is going to happen. You fear that God won't deliver. You fear that God can't because he won't, because I did so much and I shouldn't have did this. But when you realize that God loves you in spite of you, when you realize that God loved you when you was a sinner, he loved you still. Come on and say amen. When you realize that, you decide for yourself that I don't have fear. Fear is something that you can't have with faith at the same time. We need to know that you got to have the kind of faith that dispels fear. What kind of faith? The kind of faith that makes me faithful to the one that loves me. Come on and say amen. And so he said there is no fear in love. And perfect love casts out fear because fear had torment. And so when people don't understand love, they are tormented and then they cause torment to others. Amen. I wish I had somebody in here. You wondering why people are trying to hurt you is because they don't know love. Come on and say amen. You're wondering why you do do bad things to people is because you don't know love. You are tormented. And so who is it that don't know what love is? Don't know what love is? It's the devil. You know what I'm talking about? The devil don't know what love is. And that's why the devil torments people, because he don't love you. Come on and say amen. And so to torment somebody is to put yourself in the same line with the devil and not know what love is. And so why do you want to hurt people? Because I don't love them. If you love somebody, you're less likely, amen, to hurt them or to steal from them or to do them some harm. But when we don't love, we don't have a problem doing what we want to do. We don't have a problem. The Bible even say we ought not sue our brothers and go to court and sue them when they are our brothers. Amen. Because we ought to have love enough that we can work something out. And if you love, amen in here, if you love me enough, if you hurt me, you will automatically say, let me pay for what I did. Amen. I won't have to ask you to come reconcile and make things right. Amen. He says in verse number 18, he says, we love him because he first loved us. And I'm almost to a close here. He said that we love him because he first loved us. His love saved us. We were far from the peace for sure. Our soul was seeking deep in sin, but Jesus came, the master of the sea, and he reached down and heard my despairing cry. Oh, come on and say amen. And he saved me. He sanctified me and fill me with his Holy Spirit. The Bible says here, he says, if a man say, I love God and I hate my brother, he is a liar. And that puts me in the same category as Satan in the Garden of Eden. In the beginning, he said that the devil is the father of lies. Do you know that the Bible, Jesus looked at the Pharisees, he said, you are like your father, the devil, because you are a liar. They displayed a religious look. They knew how to pray in public. They knew how to carry the Torah and make sure people saw him with the word. They knew how to have religious ceremonies. They knew how to do all of those things. They quoted the scriptures and told you where you were wrong, but they didn't have love. And so Jesus looked at him and said, you are liars just like your father. You don't belong to God, because if you belong to God, you would know who I was. You would understand what I came to do. You would understand that I didn't come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it and sum it up in this word, one word. That is to love. I wish I had somebody in the house. He said, if a man say he loves God, we must know that if you say you love God, you can't love your God without loving your brother, because your brother is the very image of God. Maybe we all have different shapes and forms and looks on the outside, but me on the inside, I look just like God, because I've been born again. I wish I had somebody in here. I've been born again. I've been changed. I've been changed to look at the image of his dear son. And what does that mean? That means when Jesus came, hung, bled, and died, he rose with power, and that power gave me power to become a son of God. And when it talks about being a son of God, sonship, it has nothing to do with gender. It has everything to do with inheritance. And so we all inherit God. The Bible said that there is neither male nor female in the body of Christ. And so why do we always trip over gender when God said, I ain't looking at your gender. I'm looking at your heart. I'm looking at who you are on the inside. I'm looking at the power of God that rests on the inside. He said, if I may say this, he got to understand. He said that he that love not his brother whom he has seen, how can you love God who you don't see? In other words, you lying about loving God because you don't see God. And if you can't see God in me, enough God in me to love me, then you don't understand who God is. God is in us. Come on and say amen. God dwells on the inside. God is not somewhere on another planet. God is not far away. God is right here on the inside of me. I wish I had somebody. The Bible tells us that the God on the inside of us, when we don't know how to pray, he said God sent the Holy Spirit on the inside of us, begin to pray for us, for our infirmities, according to the will of God. See, we don't even know the will of God without his Spirit. So God said, I'm going to do the work, and I'm not going to just give you salvation, but I'm going to help you with sanctification too. I'm going to love you so much that I ain't going to leave leave you to figure this thing out on your own, but I'm going to guide you along the way. I wish I had somebody. The Bible said that for us not to lean to our own understanding, but acknowledge God in all our ways, and he will direct our path. He said, "In this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God also love his brother." I wish I had somebody. Are you loving your brother too, or are you talking about your brother? Are you texting about your brother? Are you, I wish I had somebody. Or you can't love your brother straight because you got a perverted thing going on the inside preaching here. Can you love your brother and sister in Christ when they don't do what you want them to do? When they don't act like you want them to act, can you still love them? When they fail, can you still love them? When they have faults and frailties in life that manifest, can you manifest the love of God? The Bible says in Galatians 6, he tells us that if anyone is overtaken in fault, that we that are spiritual ought to restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering ourselves, lest thou be tempted of the same. In other words, how would you want somebody to help you and restore you when you're down? How would you want somebody to bless you when you're down? How would you want somebody to manifest the love of God for you when you go through your trouble? Well, that's how you ought to act toward them. Whenever they fall or whenever they fail, you ought to learn how to do what you're supposed to do and help them to get back up. They used to say this all the time, but you don't hear it anymore. Don't ever look down on a man unless you're helping him up. And how come we look down and we act just like the people in the Bible where Jesus talked about the Samaritan man, how we act like the priest, we look at him, but we don't go to him. How we act like the Levite, we go in and we inspect him and look him over and see what we can see, but yet we don't help him. But there's somebody here got to be a good Samaritan. Somebody got to look at the man and see that the man has a need, pick him up and give him some help and restore him back. I wish I had somebody in the house. We need to learn how to do that, but we don't know how to do it because we are part of the world now. We're worrying about what the world gonna say and how they're gonna talk about me being a fool. If I'm a fool, I'm a fool for God. And I know that if I can be a fool for God, then God will make me better than what I am. God will bless me. God will heal me. God will deliver me based upon whatever it is I have faith in him for. And so I need to know how to love. Can you manifest the love of God? If somebody lied on you, can you help them? Can you forgive them if they talked about you? Can you let go and let God have his way? Come on and shout glory in the house. And shout amen here. If we got some brothers and sisters in Christ that you got an issue with, you need to let go of the issue today. You need to say, "Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. I was mad with them for a long time. I had a problem with them for the last month, but I ain't going to have a problem no more. I'm going to let go and let God, because I know this ain't of you. I've been hindering my own blessing." Do you know if your heart is filled with bitterness and your heart is filled with unforgiveness, that the Lord can't hear your prayer? I wish I had somebody in here. God ain't listening to that. He's saying, "Why you ain't got it right with your brother? Why haven't you forgiven your friend?" I wish I had somebody in the house. If you got all that in your heart, God ain't hearing your prayers. How can you let somebody come into your life and get between your relationship with you and your God? You need to let them know you ain't that important, baby, that you can get between me and God. You ain't that important. I know you thought you were all that and a bag of chips, but let me pop the bag, because you ain't all of that. You can't come between me and God. You can't stop what God is doing. So I forgive you, not because of you, but because of who God is in me. So I'm going to let the love of God begin to manifest itself. Do I have a witness in here? The Bible says that Jesus told us that no man take my life, but I lay it down for my friends. Anybody know what I'm talking about? What are you saying, preacher? That he laid his life down for a bunch of us who don't act right, for a bunch of us who gossip sometime, for a bunch of us who rob God, for a bunch of us who lie sometime. I wish I had somebody. but he still laid it down. The Bible says that he took up his cross, went down to Via Dolorosa, got up the hill that's called Golgotha, but later on it was called Calvary, laid down on the cross. He said, no man take my life. They put nails in his hands. They put nails in his feet. They hung him high, but they forgot what he said. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. Anybody know what I'm talking about? If you want men to draw, lift up Jesus. Somebody say yes here. But he died. But before he died, he had enough love that he talked to one man who was looking for paradise. And he said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Look at the love of God. Went down into hell and preached to the captives the love of God. And the Bible says that he took captivity.